Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 158.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork. Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 158. Thank you guys so much for being here. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and we got an awesome episode for you today. We got Sterling Koza teaching you guys the Joe Henderson chord. This is so awesome. I absolutely love Joe Henderson. He's had a very, very big influence on my playing, and obviously, I always recommend to all my students, you can't just get a full jazz education piano from just listening to pianists, right? A lot of the jazz language that you're going to get is going to come from Charlie Parker, right? Miles Davis, John Coltrane, all these great, amazing musicians, Dizzy, so many of these great guys that you can listen to that aren't pianists, right? And you have to listen to other instrumentalists besides piano players. Now, clearly, you're going to get a lot of dexterity, textures, and movements from, pianists, but at the same time, right, listening to Clifford Brown is going to be so much different than, listening to like Chick Corea or something like that. Now, the way people approach the approach their instrument is completely different, right? On a horn, you're actually breathing through the instrument. So, you need to think about that, and you actually physically have to take breaths, which is an amazing thing. And as pianists, because we have more of a percussive instrument, we can just play all day. We can just play forever, right? And I am a culprit of this. I totally get lost in the fact that I can just play notes forever and I don't have to breathe, but in jazz, you have to breathe, you have to leave space, and it's very, very important thing to do, and that's why this episode is going to be really, really cool. Now, that was kind of like a side note. We're not going into, Sterling's not going into all the technicalities of like learning from another instrument, but it is cool he's using Joe Henderson as an example and not just piano players. So, that is going to be really, really fun. Enjoy this episode. As always, go to jazzpianoschool.com to check us out. Check out our membership options, all of our free content. Besides the podcast, we have our blog, Lick of the Week, and so much more. So with that being said, let's dive right into this episode.
Hey, everybody. So today we're talking about the Joe Henderson chord. The Joe Henderson chord is a shape that you'll see again and again in tunes penned by Joe Henderson, great tenor saxophone player. His tunes have a distinctive character to them, mostly the ones written, in the early to late 60s, because a lot of them will use this similar shape that Joe Henderson appeared to be fascinated by, and it really characterized his sound in both his compositions and his improvising. Now, the shape that we're talking about appeared in the little snippet I just played in the intro. It's from a tune he wrote entitled Punjab. And the shape, if we're in C, looks like this. Now, if we pick this shape apart a little bit, it's sort of like a major seventh chord with a flatted fifth. So the G would go down to G flat. Now this shape appears in a variety of contexts in different tunes by Joe Henderson. And a common voicing that you'll see of this shape is this. Here's what it'll look like if I translate it into different keys. Sound familiar? Well, you may know it from another tune by Joe Henderson, more well known, called Inner Urge. Now, this shape appears really right off the bat in the first chord. And notice, we were just playing in C, but if you put the bass note onto F sharp, same shape but different chord. Now we're getting to see how versatile this shape really is. These tunes were really just explorations of different ways that Joe could use this shape. So first we've got an F sharp in the bass. And then next we have an F in the bass. And guess what? There it is again. It's sort of like an F major 7 flat 5. Some people call this sharp 11. But for our sake, we're going to call it a flat 5 because it's really, we're talking about a major 7 with 5th lowered. So Inner Urge, we've got. Here's the chord again. And guess what we have next? Another one. Put a different voicing down. Now let's take a moment to talk about all the different voicings we can use for this chord. Now what we can do to find different voicings is invert the chord. If we're in D flat, we can put a C on top, we can put a D flat on top, we can put an F on top, we can put a G on top, or a C back on top. Now the second half of this tune, the bridge, is pretty much all major 7, sharp 11, or flat 5 chords. Major 7, flat 5 chords. So we go down a minor third, up a half step, let's see, where are we? Starting on E, down a minor third, up a half step, down a minor third, up a half step, down a minor third, and then this chord is a little different. It's a dominant chord because it leads to the last one, which is G. So this is really just like a workout for this chord. So learning Inner Urge can be really helpful to learn how to play this chord. And the melody. So shed those chords in succession. Let's take a moment to talk about that last chord before the very last one. Might call it the penultimate chord. We've got the B flat. Now, if you, on paper, this is a B flat 13 chord, right? A dominant chord. But look a little closer. Does this shape look familiar? That's right. If you guessed it, then you're right. This is the Joe Henderson chord, just in a different iteration. Normally this would have an A flat on the bottom to make our major 7 flat 5, but instead we're putting a B flat in the bass. Making it a dominant 13 chord. Same shape, different bass note. So really, if you think about it, every chord in this song is a different iteration of that same chord. So then, if we go to improvise over this tune, instead of having to think about all these fancy chord symbols, you know, F, F sharp half diminished, F major 7 flat 5, E major 7 flat 5, it's really just the same shape in different keys. So if then, what do we have to use to improvise using this shape? Well, first you can just limit yourself to only using the notes in the shape, which would look like that. You'll hear Joe Henderson play this a lot, these type of shapes, just translating through the keys. First, you can go through and practice all these shapes through all the keys. With different patterns. Can be a good way to explore, just get familiar with the notes. And then so on and so forth. But then we can start to extend a little bit and look at some more harmony on top of those chords. So if we have, let's see, what notes will work? Sometimes I put like a minor six shape over this. And then we get to F. Here I'm using sort of a six-note pattern, six-note scale. We talked about this in a previous podcast, calling it the Coltrane scale. Sort of like a pentatonic. Sort of a G major pentatonic, what is it? Sort of a D minor pentatonic with a natural six. And we can go down to the next one. With that same sort of, that'd be like a C minor pentatonic with a natural six. Down to D flat. Now if you were just using straight pentatonic chords, or pentatonic scales, excuse me, you could use sort of like a G major pentatonic. Over E flat, you could use sort of an F major pentatonic. D flat, same thing, whole step up like the E flat major. So those are some options that you have. Now here's what it'll sound like if I improvise using some of the shape that we talked about. And then going further to use some pentatonic chords over the shape. Here we go. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Thank you. So I was using some of that Joe Henderson shape we were talking about. Some of the pentatonic scales. And then some of that sort of six-note Coltrane scale we were talking about. And one thing towards the end, I really got into some patterns that sequenced melodies over these chords going down in minor thirds. Like I did something like... Sequencing those patterns, those melodies, can be really helpful in getting through those chords. Well, I hope you found some good things to practice out of this, getting the Joe Henderson sound in your fingers. Those are all some strategies that will help that we talked about, and feel free to explore with those and permute them in different ways, using different scales over the chords, using that shape, and can't wait to hear what you come up with. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.